Welcome to the Mo Money, Mo Progress podcast. We bring you interviews with amazing people who share advice about how to make more money and manage what you got.
Welcome back to Mo Money, Mo Progress. My name is Gwen. I am the oldest, but definitely not wisest of the Sister Pack sisters. Thank you so much for listening today. I want to start off by asking you perhaps a personal question. Are you in debt right now? Are you perhaps battling student loans? Are you paying off credit cards, random lines of credit? Hey, your parents, maybe a sister or a friend. But debt, if debt is in your life right now, you're going to absolutely love this conversation. Personally, I'm still paying back student loans. I'm 26 right now, and I'm on track to have a few more years, probably like 5 more years if I am currently going at the pace I'm on. But, you know, I want to do it faster, much like I imagine you do if you're listening to this conversation today. Well, we're bringing you some serious information and inspiration from Melanie Lockhart of DearDebt.com. You have to check out her site, DearDebt.com. Melanie, I discovered through Googling, you know, trying to figure this out myself, and she is paying off, get this number, $81,000 in student loan debt. And in this conversation, she shares some really amazing out-of-the-box tips and strategies on how she is taking on debt. Grab your cup of coffee, grab a pen and paper, perhaps a journal, whatever it takes, but know that you are not alone in this, and Melanie's going to guide us through a debt journey today. Everyone, welcome to the show. Virtual claps. Melanie Lockhart.
Hello, Melanie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
I am simply thrilled to have the chance to interview you. And as mentioned, I'm thrilled to start with the rapid fire round to get to know you from a different angle. So let's get right into it. So Melanie, what is your greatest extravagance?
Good question. I don't have a lot of extravagances in my life, but I would say one extravagance that I have that I'm totally unabashed about is travel. Love travel. I think it's totally worth it. And I know for someone in debt, you know, it's kind of a controversial topic, but I think it's worth it. And it's my greatest extravagance.
And we'll get into how you make it work with traveling and paying off the debt. What is the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the word money?
Ooh, really good question. Actually, a lot of complicated emotions. I would say when I first think of money, I think of struggle, opportunity, freedom, and making things work. It has a lot, like I said, it's a lot of complicated emotions for me just because I feel like money is so powerful in so many different ways. And I've seen both the beauty and the struggle of it for sure.
And you're on the way to more beauty, which is exciting. What is your favorite financial tool or app that you might use?
Yeah, I am such a huge fan of Capital One 360's targeted savings account. They let you open different savings accounts and nickname them. So I literally have about 7 different savings accounts. One that says emergency fund, one that says travel, one that says contact lenses, one that says, you know, taxes. So, you know, I'm really super clear on all of my financial goals and I know where my money is going and for what for. And, you know, it's a free service that they offer and, you know, really helps me stay on top of my financial goals.
That sounds incredible. Like, it sounds like you could nickname an account shoes if you really wanted to or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
The shoes, the, you know, get out of Dodge fund, the freedom fund, you know, whatever you want it to be, you know, nickname it and put the money in there and make it happen.
Love that. What was your first freelance job ever?
It was a little over a year ago, actually, and it was writing a personal finance blog post.
Do you remember what outlet or what it was for?
Yeah, I do. I'd rather not say because my first freelance opportunity did not end up so well, and I actually didn't freelance again for 3 months.
Oh my God, we have to get into that.
Yeah, we can definitely
Names mentioned, but I feel like a lot of people could relate to that. So what is something that you patiently saved up for to buy?
When I was 21, I saved up for a year making minimum wage so that I could study abroad in Spain and travel for the first time. I had always wanted to study abroad. You know, it felt like something that was so far away and that was out of my reach. And, you know, I was already sort of in student loan debt at the time and I didn't want to get into more of it. So I knew that I wanted to pay for it with cash. So I saved up for about a year. It was you know, $5,000, you know, of working and going to school and then being able to study abroad in Spain for a few months over the summer. It was just a life-changing opportunity.
Oh, yeah, that sounds fantastic. What is your favorite financial book or resource?
Yeah, one of my favorite financial books is Make Money Your Honey by Amanda Abella. She wrote this fantastic book sort of about overcoming your money mindset and money challenges and sort of really embracing money the way that you would, you know, in any relationship. And, you know, I've had my money mindset struggles before and sort of embracing, you know, all that money is and sort of creating a positive relationship with it. So I think, you know, reading that book has really given me the confidence to embrace my relationship with money, change it and transform it and make money.
Yes. And I love that title. It just sounds, it makes money so accessible.
Yeah. Make money your honey.
I love it. Will do. If you are gifted $10,000 today, no strings attached, just someone was like, oh, here you go. Here's 10 grand. What would you do with it?
To be honest, I would probably put 9,000 of it to debt and just slaughter a bunch of my student loan debt. And I would probably spend $1,000 on traveling or going on a vacation somewhere.
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, especially with your sheer determination to pay off your debt, just put it towards it. Let's get out of debt.
Yes, just get it done.
Well, that leads me to ask you, you know, I discovered you from, well, actually Shannon of Financially Blonde's podcast, but then I checked out your site, Dear Debt, and you're blowing my mind, especially with your honesty and side hustling and everything. So for people who aren't familiar with your work yet, can you share the Dear Debt origin story?
Yeah, I started Dear Debt a little over 2 years ago, and boy, my life was so much different at the time. I was pretty much working part-time, making, I think, $12 an hour. I had just gotten off of food stamps and, you know, feeling pretty low in life after, you know, I had graduated with a master's degree from a really prestigious school in New York. I had moved to Portland to be with my love. I had this mounting student loan debt and no real career opportunities here in Portland, Oregon. And I just felt really, really low. I felt like, you know, I had followed the recipe for success. I had worked hard. I had gone to school. I had done everything right. You know, I had a career before grad school as well. So, you know, I thought that I was going to be a really great candidate and things would, you know, be easy for me. And they just were not. And, you know, it was a rude awakening for me to, you know, have a career, go to prestigious grad school, and then sort of have things come to a halt and feel like, wow, I don't know what my next step is. And I have these massive student loans that I have to pay back. And, you know, 2 years ago was sort of my breaking point. I was just, you know, banging my head against a wall and talking to my parents and my boyfriend so much about my student loan debt. And quite frankly, I think they were sick of me. I was sick of myself at that point. And, you know, I really needed an outlet to sort of talk about my struggles and also talk to other people about money and student loans and, you know, not alienate my family or my partner. And so I started Dear Debt as, you know, a commitment to myself to change my life and to get out of student loan debt. It was a really powerful move on my part because it was setting the intention for getting out of debt. You know, I think having a blog, you know, you can really sort of make things public and make a commitment to yourself and to others. And, you know, slowly but surely, I started to find other people in the community dealing with the same struggles about finding work that they love, getting paid enough to actually pay off debt and, you know, paying off debt on a minimal salary. And so, you know, it was a really great changing point for me. And so I just publicly committed to breaking up with debt. And, you know, it's been a wild ride ever since. And that's pretty much the story. Is the story came from, you know, a breaking point of feeling like I have nothing else to lose. I really just want to talk to other people and, you know, build a community around these struggles. So, you know, a lot of my friends joke that, oh, Melanie, you turned your pain into your passion, which, you know, is totally true. Totally true.
It's so great that you did that because I find that not enough people are talking about money. And, you know, it's this thing that we make so many financial decisions every day and we don't even know where our money's going. And I feel like a lot of people can relate to when you said, you know, you pursued your dreams, but then you moved and you were kind of stuck and you didn't really know how to get your career going. I've been there too. So I know exactly what that's like. So I'd love to hear, what did you actually do in that moment of you've broken down, I don't know what I'm going to do? How did you first start kind of climbing your way out? of that dark place.
Yeah, I would say, you know, I had been lurking on personal finance blogs sort of for months before I started my own. And then I had met up with a local blogger here just to sort of chat about, you know, starting a blog. And, you know, she really inspired me to do so. And, you know, starting my blog really started to change things because it was a creative outlet for me. You know, even though I wasn't getting paid for it, even though I was anonymous at the time, you know, it was something that was my own space to deal with my emotions. At that time, I was also seeking professional help because, you know, I think sometimes we also need to admit that maybe our partners or our family or ourselves aren't the best person to talk to when you're dealing with life-changing struggles, you know? And that's another thing that I try to bring up on Dear Debt is that mental health and money is so, 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 so important. So important. And I think it's totally swept under the rug. And I know this for a fact because I have people finding my blog because they Google, I want to kill myself because of debt. And I've written about it several times, encouraging people to try to find the light because, you know, I've been there before and that if you need to seek professional help, there's no shame in that. And that, you know, debt is not a reason to end your life or, you know, a debt sentence should not be a death sentence is my motto. And, you know, I think seeking professional help really helped me. Also, just meeting new people and trying new things and getting out of my comfort zone. I think a large part of why I was so stuck was that I kept trying the same different things, you know, applying to a million jobs and, you know, hanging out in the same sort of crowd and not really getting anywhere new. And I think starting a blog, admitting that I needed help and trying new things really opened up different opportunities for me. And I started to, you know, do things differently and the outcome started to become different as well. So that's sort of how I climbed my way out slowly but surely from those moments of despair.
I got to tell you, I got chills when you were explaining that because even the idea a debt sentence is not a death sentence, I already see that if that's not already a book you're working on, literally needs to be written. Because I see so many smart, ambitious, mostly women that I talk to about money. They're going through a hard time and they seek sometimes the weirdest ways to make money. Like I've had friends and even like myself almost have considered when I ran out of money, like, you know, maybe I should, you know, donate my body to medical science. Like what's the worst
should
that
I be a
happen?
Stripper?
I mean, like, I feel like there's so many of us that have these crazy, crazy thoughts that are not aligned with who we are because we're so stressed out, freaking out, no idea what to do. And I can't believe like people are Google or writing that into Google and they're finding you. And what do you say? What would you say to somebody who's listening to this? They are crushed by their debt right now and are completely defeated. Like what would you say that they should do to start?
Yeah, I would say that the first thing to know is that you are not alone. And I think that's such a huge, huge thing because when you're typing into Google, you know, I want to kill myself because of debt, it's because you feel so alone and desperate that you're just searching for anything to tell you that it's okay or answers. And I think I want to just let people know that you are not alone and that, you know, it's not a great place to be in, but so many people are suffering with debt, whether they admit that or not. You know, I think many, many people are in debt. We just don't talk about it. And that, you know, killing yourself over debt is not worth it at all. You know, people may think that, oh, maybe it'll help my family. It'll be less of a struggle. But no, it'll make things so much worse for your family and your friends. And, you know, life is not supposed to be spent, you know, in this much despair. I think, you know, there's a point where you have to acknowledge those feelings and then also sort of accept your financial situation, which is often the hardest part because, you know, there comes a point where you feel pretty helpless about your debt situation. But when you're trying to get out of that despair, you really have to sort of take action and then admitting where you are at financially. If it's, you know, $80,000 in debt, $100,000 in debt, $200,000 in debt, maybe it's only $10,000 in debt. Whatever your situation may be, it's valid for you. And you have to accept it and sort of take the steps to move on. And that means paying it back as soon as possible to reclaim your life.
And what would you say to people who are so paralyzed by fear of how much money they owe that they haven't even looked at their debt yet? What would you say to that person?
I would say definitely get started on checking your accounts and just looking at that number point blank in the face for 20 minutes and just let it sink in. I remember actually, I have this vivid memory of I was in New York, still in my last semester of grad school, and I had joined Mint.com to really get a, you know, bird's eye view of my finances. And I had saw like my negative net worth, like negative 60,000 or 70,000. I don't even remember, but it was like so appalling to me that after like a week of being on Mint.com, I just deleted it. I just said, oh, I can't look at this number right now. I just can't. And, you know, I was still in denial of how much debt I was getting into, and it was such a pill to swallow. But, you know, I think once I finally got out of that moment, I really had to sit down and say, these are the choices I made. This is what happened. This is how much debt I have. And you just have to sort of sit with that number for a while. And it's probably not going to be comfortable for a long time, but you have to be comfortable with that number and then start to slowly chip away at it.
Yes. And I would even say something that's helped me is when you know you've got to open that bill or look at that debt, you know it's going to be bad. Like setting aside the night with whether it's if you want to drink some tea, I like to drink a beer, and, you know, just like allow yourself to experience the emotions, the sad or angry emotions. Let them just pass through you before you try and just say, oh, whatever, and go over it and
just move on. So let's talk about kind of a little bit more about how you were climbing out of it. What were some of the different jobs that you had in your side hustling career to start paying off that debt?
Yeah, I've done a lot of different things as a side hustle. I have worked as a brand ambassador, which is my number one side hustle. I love it so much. You know, it's usually pretty easy gigs where I work for a company, I'm representing a brand at a high profile event. Usually it involves lots of free stuff. You know, I've done some more glamorous brand ambassador work for like Starbucks and Columbia Sportswear, which has been really fun and nice. I've also done some very unglamorous brand ambassador work. I remember I did a gig for a blinds company once, and I was stuck at a Home Depot by myself talking to people about blinds. And I just remember thinking, I hope they don't ask me any questions because I don't know anything about blinds.
I don't even have blinds.
I don't have blinds. I have curtains. But, you know, I got myself in these situations that were just quite comical. I think you probably heard on my podcast with Shannon about me walking an invisible dog for a pet store promotion.
You have to explain that a little bit more because I didn't know if I heard that right. I was like, wait, what? So what is this job?
So as a little gimmick, this pet store that was opening up in Portland, you know, wanted to get their name out and, you know, let people know that they had just opened up down the street. And so they gave us a leash that was sort of constructed to look like there was an invisible dog, like a head, you know, sort of circular and taut. So, you know, it was not just flat and flaccid. But so I was, you know, walking this invisible dog and, you know, pretending like, oh, sorry, you know, Sniffy licked you. Did you know about the store opening down the street? And, you know, it was just sort of a gimmick to get people to look at you and ask what you're doing walking a dog that doesn't exist.
Do you think it worked?
It definitely, you know, was a conversation starter. I think, I don't know if it got people into the store. I think it definitely got people's attention.
I mean, I can't hate on anything the marketing folks try and do, because we're all just trying to do something, and it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I appreciate you saying that, because I feel like nowadays, creativity is your only limit to how you can get paid.
Yes.
You can do anything. Like, so share with everyone right now, what are the different ways that you get paid?
Yeah, I get paid in a few different ways, and that's because I'm a huge advocate for multiple streams of income. I would feel highly uncomfortable if I had only one stream of income. I work as a writer. I work as an editor. I work as a virtual assistant. I also work as a brand ambassador as my main side hustle. And that really comes in sort of two different ways. I work for more corporate clients on the marketing side, doing sort of events in person at different conventions or concerts. And then more recently, I've also started to do sort of brand ambassador work with financial companies and also personal finance bloggers. So really connecting brands and bloggers, which is a lot of fun for me. I've also worked as a pet sitter. I've worked as a dog walker. I've worked as a house sitter. I've worked as a house cleaner. I've worked various random gigs at art galleries being a registration person. I've sold water bottles at raves. Yes. Pretty much, you know, any gig I can find on Craigslist or TaskRabbit, you know, I will do. You know, I think it's always been a fun adventure for me. And I think that's what really motivates me to take some of these gigs is like, yeah, they're not the most glamorous or the most fun in some cases, but there's always a good story because I know I have a book in me someday.
I already can see it.
So,
you know, it's all part of the story and the journey and the fun. And, you know, I have a lot of people that say, oh, I could never do that. Or how do you get these wild gigs? And, you know, like you said, creativity is your only limit. And if you're willing to get out of your comfort zone and try new things, you know, I think there is so much money to be made out there in different ways. And especially with the digital economy, you know, TaskRabbit, Fiverr, Craigslist, everything.
And it's so interesting. Like, it's very smart at this point, now that you're on the other side and have an amazing blog and a platform, all these different jobs that millions of like North Americans are doing, and they're kind of hiding it. Like, you know, if you're like, I'm a brand ambassador, but like, I don't want to talk about it because I didn't go to school for that. So mm-hmm. many people will completely resonate with that. And it's just going to be, it's all about, you know, at the end of your life, you'll say, I tried everything. You know, I have no regrets. I did it all.
Exactly.
So what has surprised you the most since going on your Dear Debt journey?
Yeah, a whole lot has surprised me. If you would have told me that 2 years after starting my blog, I would be a full-time freelancer, I would have laughed in your face. I'd be like, ha, yeah, right. So that has been wildly surprising and sort of, you know, not something I had planned at all. I didn't even think it was possible. But, you know, writing a blog and having a platform can lead to other freelance work. And I've been able to see that for myself, which, you know, is really, really highly rewarding, because it feels like, you know, you put so much work into your blog that, you know, you don't know if people are seeing or not. You don't know if people are resonating or not. And then to be able to get more work from that, you know, it's good for your ego and your confidence. And, you know, it's also just nice to, you know, make money elsewhere using the skills that you already have and that you love to use.
Absolutely. And you just reminded me actually that I wanted to ask you, I don't want to go into detail on your first writing freelance gig that went bad, but
yeah.
What advice would you give to people who, you know, maybe they have a fashion blog and they're like, you know what, I'm at a place now where I want to pitch it to a magazine or to another fashion hub. What would you say are like the do's and don'ts of pitching your writing?
Yeah, I would say the do is to definitely do it. I think so many people can just be scared of even just pitching, you know? And I think pitching your ideas is so important, because that's how you build relationships. That's how people get to know about you. I mean, you know, you can't just wait for people to come to you, even though in an ideal world, people would just be knocking at your door, slamming down the doors and, you know, taking up all of your time. But if you want to just really get started, you have to start contacting people. And so definitely do it. Definitely try to find the name of the person that you can talk to. You know, I'm not necessarily a fan of like the to whom it may concern or like dear blank or whatever, because it just sounds like you have no idea who you're sending this email to into the ether. So I try to find a name and contact info. I try to learn a little bit about them beforehand. I also really study their site and their voice and sort of what they do. I think it's really important to sort of understand what they're going for. And conversely, I also think it's really important to sort of look at the gaps in content. For example, you know, if I'm pitching a blog and, you know, I see all of this stuff that they do about student loans and this, that, and the other, I can confidently probably write similar content. But what's really going to make you stand out is by saying, oh, you know, I see that you don't have any information on side hustling on how to make more money to pay off student loans. You know, that's something that I would really love to help your blog with and, you know, write about. And really looking at those gaps in content of where you can be of service to those people, I think can really help sell yourself in a better way.
And is there anything that you would say, do not do this?
I think, you know, it's a fine line between pitching yourself and being friendly and approachable and then also desperate. You know, I think we've all carefully ridden that line before.
Oh, yes.
You know, I think, you know, in the online space, it's a little different than, you know, a quote real job. So I try to keep it pretty casual, actually, you know, not too formal to the point where it's like I'm, you know, applying for an executive position at a real job, but just something a little more casual, a little more approachable, you know, showing that I've actually done my research on the site, also sharing my information about what I can bring to the table and also how I can help them. You know, it can't just be all about you. I think it's a really easy habit to get into, to be like, me, this is what I do, this is why I'm great. But, you know, what they're looking for is what you can bring to the table to help them. You know, they want you to solve problems and provide solutions. So I always try to think about what they're looking for and how I can be of service.
That's an extremely good point. Sometimes if you look at the email you're going to send, and if you start every sentence with I, if you look at that, it's just a bunch of I's, you're like, okay, you've got to switch that up and say you're doing the great things, even though you're great, but don't overuse the word I. So I got to ask you about the debt. Time is clearly flying by here, but I would love to ask you, for those people who are battling the loans right now, what are some of your tips to start taking action in the right direction?
Yeah. I think the first thing that people can do is understanding their balance. You know, like I said, for a while there, I just wanted to turn a blind eye to the actual amount of student loan debt I owed. So I think coming to terms with your actual balance is step number one. Step number two is knowing your interest rates. My interest rates are so varied. My undergrad loans are at, I think, 2.3%, and my highest graduate loan is 7.9%. So that's a huge difference. And, you know, I decide my payment plan accordingly about highest interest. So I think it's really important for you to know, you know, what that interest is and how much you're getting charged each month and every day. That's what really inspires me to pay off debt, is knowing that, you know, $6 a day is going to my interest, you know, without me doing anything, which is just disgusting. And I hate it so much. You know, I could be using that $6 elsewhere, you know, so let that inspire you. And I would also say, you know, come up with a plan, you know, a flexible plan. You know, I originally said, oh, I want to pay off all my debt in 4 years. It's been 2 years since then. I don't think I'm on track to actually pay it off in 4 years, but I'm going to do my best. You know, life happens and you commit to the journey, but be flexible as well. So come up with an ideal timeline for when you want to get out of debt, but also be flexible with yourself, because a lot can happen in a few years. You know, if you're like me, paying off a large amount of debt, I mean, several years, things happen. You move, relationships change, jobs change. You know, you have to account for that as well. And then also just commit to making more money and working as hard as you can to pay it off. You know, it's tough when you're working, you know, what seems like 2 full-time jobs and more, and doing gigs that, you know, maybe seem laughable, but it's temporary, you know? I know that I'm going to relax a whole lot more once I'm debt-free.
Oh, yes. And if the Melanie today could go back in time and tell little Melanie one piece of advice when you were first starting out, going to school and starting your career, what advice would you tell yourself?
Yeah, I would tell myself to start funding my retirement early. Because I'm 30 years old and I hardly have anything in retirement. And I just feel so stupid, because it was one of those things that I had read over and over and over again. And I just thought, I'm so young, I can save later. I have student loan debt, you know, it's not important, you know. And then now I'm 30 and I'm like, oh, wow, crap, I barely have anything saved up for retirement. And, you know, if I would have at least started putting a little away when I had first started working over 10 years ago, I could have at least had something right now, you know.
Well, you are definitely not alone. I'm in the exact same boat. And it's like, wow, you hear this advice, you know, in your early 20s of, oh, start saving for retirement. And in my mind too, I was like, yeah, of course I'll start saving for my retirement. And then it's like, huh, I'm doing it. I'm no longer 21. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I'm also very curious about investing. And I'm curious if it's something that you're looking into or you're already doing, or something on your radar.
Yeah, actually, I am embarrassed to say I do not invest currently, but I have been sort of really seriously considering it. It's actually a really big struggle for me that I go back and forth on, because some days I'm just purely committed to debt. I'm like, I want to slaughter this thing. I'm going to forego all of my financial goals. You know, I'm not going to save anymore. I'm not going to put anything to retirement. I'm not going to invest. It's all going to be about debt. But then a few months later, I inevitably get exhausted about just paying off debt. And then I think about me being 30 and having approximately $500 in a retirement account and zero investments. And then I think, well, maybe I should start to actually build wealth and invest. I do plan on investing $1,000 in the near future, probably using Betterment. I've heard pretty good things about them. It's supposed to be an easy way for people that, you know, aren't super familiar with the stock market to get started. But I do want to dip my toes into the water, because I feel like time is slipping by. And, you know, this is just a real struggle that I think everyone in debt deals with, is sort of managing multiple financial priorities. You know, it's easy to want to just say no to everything else while you pay off debt. And I think if you have a small amount of debt, then that makes sense. But if you're dealing with, you know, high debt, you know, in the multiple thousands, when you're going to spending years paying it back, you know, I think foregoing those other goals can be harmful, probably.
Yeah, and I feel like that's actually something that people don't talk about a lot as well. You know, it's like you've got this big debt. How do you pay that off? But at the same time, being very aware that we're told we need to save for retirement and all that as well. I recently stumbled across an amazing entrepreneur named Leia Manderson.
Oh, and I love her.
I just found her YouTube videos. And I mean, she seems like she's making it extremely accessible. So I was just going to say shout out. I don't know, Leah, but...
I do. I met her at FinCon, actually. FinCon is the Financial Bloggers Conference.
Yes.
And I met her in September, and she is awesome and fabulous.
She is fabulous. I hope you're listening, because you know,
we'll tweet at her.
Exactly. Oh, that's awesome. And Melanie, I got to ask you, how can people connect with you? You know, they resonate with your story. They're like, man, Melanie's the girl for me to help me get out of debt. How do people find you and connect with you?
Yeah, they can go to my website, deardebt.com. You can go to my contact page and, you know, get in touch with me. You can tweet at me at deardebtblog. You can also find me on Instagram at deardebt. I'm around and I love to communicate with people. So,
yes,
holla.
Exactly. And everybody listening, I really encourage you to go to deardebt.com. I mean, like, Melanie's information is just so helpful and relatable and so transparent, which is very rare in the financial world. So, Melanie, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast.
Thank you for listening. To find more interviews and tips to help you make Mo money, go to momoneymoprogress.com.